Are there areas where you can get somebody better than you? That's the first consideration. And let's say the question of whether you can get them, it has been answered. So are there areas where you can get people better than you? If the answer is yes, you should look towards outsourcing. Then are there areas where you can get people not as good as you, but they're good enough? They're good enough to deliver to the set standard. And which when outsourced, that are there areas which when outsourced is going to free up more time for you to tackle the areas you're very good at, then you should also outsource those too. Then what is the time frame for the product delivery? If it is going to be too much of a hassle for you to deliver single individually, and bearing in mind that most times too, you might have other projects and activities competing for your time, then you should outsource.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whenever and wherever you're listening to us from, this is the Creatives Chronicles, the podcast for designers and developers. Here on the show, we share our experiences, our learnings, and our feelings. We keep it real. We explore topics and conversations to help you become a well-rounded professional. My name is Bright Emeka, and as always, I'm joined by the man, the myth, and the legend, Bosuke Chikunda. Good morning, boss.
Good morning, listeners. Thank you for joining us. Glad to have you with us.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. Before we get into today's episode, welcome to the Cool Tip or Cool Tool segment, Cool Tip of the Week. For today, my cool tool is Google Docs. Google Docs in particular, and all forms of note-taking, cloud-based note-taking software. They are lifesavers. Like, imagine the feeling of continuing work without breaking a sweat. Like, you can pick up your phone. I can pick up my phone and continue working on show ideas and episode notes. I could be typing a document and continue from both my phone or from a computer. Like, it is truly, truly helpful. The flexibility cloud-based note-taking software provide is incredibly valuable, and I would definitely recommend using them. So, that's my cool tool for the week, boss.
Okay, mine for the week is a mental model. So, for those of us who might not know about mental models are basically ways of understanding the world around you. There are a lot of them across different fields. So, the one for today is Schrodinger's cats. The Schrodinger, if you a science any science student will remember, you can think back to if you did physics, you can remember the Schrodinger's experiment, the Schrodinger's cat experiment, where a cat is in a box, an opaque box, and until and which has a radiation, which an opaque box that is being bombarded with radiations. So the learning from that is that the cat is both dead and alive until you open the box. So basically, the cat is in both of those states at the same time, or is effectively in both of those states since you can't see what's going on. When you open the box, then you can know for certain if the cat is dead or the cat is alive. So that's Schrodinger's cat. How does that apply as a mental model? Using Schrodinger's cat as a mental model means that you try as much as possible not to make decisions earlier than you have to. Daniel Kahneman in his book Thinking Fast and Slow also alluded to that fact that you make better decisions when you wait as long as possible to make the decisions. This is not a defense of procrastination. This is waiting as long as you have to. If you have to make the decision within 5 minutes, then of course, that's how much time you've got. But if you have 3 months to make a decision, there should be no rush to make it in 1 day. Because with the cocktail of biases that that is part and parcel of every person, it's harder for you to change your mind when you've painted yourself into a corner, when you've staked out a position. Then you have things like confirmation bias working against you, changing your mind or adapting to new information. But if you hold off making a decision for as long as possible, then you're in a better position to incorporate whatever available evidence is out there, whatever facts are available that will influence you making a decision one way or the other. And the net effect is that you tend to make better decisions because you make decisions based on as much facts as you could gather within that period. Humans, we perform better when we are methodical. When we do things at a frenzied pace, there is the possibility of making mistakes tend to go up. So when we take our time and are methodical, we tend to perform better. So that's the mental model for this week, Schrodinger's cats. As much time as you need or as is available to come to a decision.
Yeah, yeah. I think this also helps or clarify a concept. I think it's called just-in-time learning. I think they go together somehow, not just learning for the sake of learning, but also learning so you could apply it in that moment. So decision-making, just-in-time decision-making, not overly late and not too early, without more evidence. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for sharing, boss. Thank you. All right. Today's topic is about outsourcing work, knowing when to hire help, and factors to consider when outsourcing. I'd like to start today by quoting Jessica Jackley. She's a businesswoman. She said, deciding what not to do is as important as deciding what to do. There are a ton, like a gazillion things that we could do, or the gazillion things that are going to be making demands of our time and our mental resources every single day. And there will come a point in time when delegation and outsourcing is going to be the easier route for some tasks. And trust me, I know, like, it can be hard. We say things like, nobody could do it better than me. I don't want to spend money unnecessarily. There are more concerns we have, and they are absolutely legitimate. Chief of which is, how do I ensure the quality of work done? How do I ensure it stays the same or it gets better or improved? What style of reporting am I going to adopt in this scenario, and how much control am I going to be letting go of? So there are plenty of things to consider when outsourcing. So but let's talk about some concerns we might have when it comes to outsourcing and delegating work, and what we can do to mitigate and handle these concerns.
Yeah, so most times when we talk about many complex concepts, they are usually saying some maxims or adages on both sides of the issue. So in this case, you've talked about one, as in, then there's also another famous one. If you want something done right, you have to do it yourself. Well, most times you don't have to do it yourself. That's true in many cases, but it's not true, or it is not the most efficient and effective way to go about the matter in some cases. So as in, even in economics, I've forgotten there's a concept around this where instead of doing what's your best at, sometimes it's much more valuable, or it's much more profitable to delegate or to offshore tasks and projects to those who might not be as good as it at you, so that you can focus on doing some other thing. So let's say you're very good. You're the best in the world at maybe making pies, baking cakes, and making smoothies. So, and you don't have the time to do the three. So sometimes in economics, it is said that it is more profitable for you to delegate the task of making, let's say, of the three, the best you are good at is making the pies. So they say delegate the task of making the smoothies and baking the cakes to somebody who, though they are good, they might not be as good as you, but they are good. They are good enough to be okay. They're good enough to meet whatever standards or whatever standards is operational in that scenario. Then you can focus on making that which you are best at, while others who are not as good as you in the other things can focus on doing that because you don't have enough time to split yourself amongst the three. And the output, the cumulative output from such delegation is going to be more than and it would have been if you kept all three tasks to yourself. And also, most times, the most difficult things and the most important thing for a new CEO or a new leader to learn is delegation. Because of course, from working lower down the food chain, you either don't have anyone to delegate to, so you tend to do most things yourself. It's a bit difficult to let go of tasks and delegate to other people on the team that they should be delegated to. And in the tech field, the designers and developers generally technical people are plagued with this problem, because most times it is an individualistic field. Like, technical matters are mostly individualistic matters. It's something that you do individually. Of course, the larger the work gets, the more you need to delegate, but most times you can do things yourself. So when people graduate to higher level positions, they have to be forced to learn delegation, so to speak.
Yeah. Awesome. And I also think the thought of outsourcing can bring out so many worries we might have had, like in the past, you want to protect your name, you're not sure of the reliability of the vendor you're going to be outsourcing to. And we've all heard stories, or we have experienced the feeling of being at one point, and this is never a good feeling. I think one way we could handle this,
Go on.
Yeah, one way we could handle this is to hire someone or an organization with a good track record, or that has social proof, or someone in our community or in our circle that we've seen executing on projects.
Yeah, well, that helps. But I think the safer bet is not to focus on the individual, but on systems. So hire the best you can get, but institute processes and systems that will make failure hard, or that will mitigate failure. Mm. So having processes, just like if you think of a factory, for example, a factory where you have, what's that stuff called? This division of labor, or what? Let's say you have a car factory, and as the car goes along assembly line. So that's what I was thinking about. In a factory where you have an assembly line, everything is standardized. So it does not matter the individual skill, to some extent, the individual skill of the different people at the different stages of the assembly line does not matter, because there is a process, a laid down process. So looking at the output, it is hard to tell who the best in the technician on the assembly line was and who the worst was, because there's a process that ensures that even the worst can give something, can produce up to the requirements. So to ensure that the case you talked about in outsourcing, to ensure that the output is up to par and is up to the standards required, there need to be some systems and processes put in place.
Some
safeguard. If you can't find the best, or if you hire somebody, even if you hire the best and they make mistakes, because the best also will make mistakes. So the systems and processes will save the project.
Yeah, true. And I think here, Trello boards deserve a honorable mention, or other systems of keeping track on projects, like where stakeholders could see what is happening, what has happened, and what is yet to happen. Like, this can be really helpful.
Yeah, Trello boards, Jira boards, all of those are actually one system. They're just different implementations of one system, which is the Kanban style. So that's any system is better than the system at all. It helps to bring some order. I think I don't know if it's in the military where they say discipline is the highest form of freedom. So it tends to bring some order and clarity around what is going on.
Yeah.
And also could give some form of early warning around problems that may occur or that may arise.
Mm. Awesome. Discipline is the best form of freedom. Amazing. And another way to put it also is designers, there's something we call constraints. This is when we limit how much further something can go. Like, healthy constraints would help keep things in track. Awesome, awesome. There are a ton of benefits to outsourcing, plenty, like the mental bandwidth you free up, like after delegating and outsourcing, man, it's really good. And like we mentioned earlier, when you systemize and there is a well-documented process, it's also really, really...
That's why Africa in general is relatively backward as a continent, is productivity, the output. I think in the public sphere, in the public economy, it's measured as GDP or GNP or whatever. The outputs. So if you can delegate more, you can take on more work and you can produce more. You can be more productive. So productivity is the biggest boost to outsourcing because you can get a lot more done in the same amount of time. And also then other intended effects. Okay, you can other downstream effects like providing jobs as a green on a larger scale, providing jobs for a lot more people. Because that money tends to now flow down to a larger pool of people and so on and so forth down the line. So I would say productivity is the biggest benefit, is the biggest boon to outsourcing. But of course, there can be other things too. It can free up your time for some other activities that you might need to do or might want to do.
Yeah. Awesome. Boss, when would be for developers and freelancers or beginning entrepreneurs, when do you think is like a good time to start thinking of outsourcing, and what are some things to consider before bringing on help?
When let's say you have a project, what are the and you've scoped out the different or the various components of the project? What needs to be done to get this delivered? Are there areas where you can get somebody better than you? That's the first consideration. And let's say the question of whether you can get them, it has been answered. So are there areas where you can get people better than you? If the answer is yes, you should look towards outsourcing. Then are there areas where you can get people not as good as you, but they're good enough? And they're good enough to deliver to the set standard. And which when outsourced, that are there areas which when outsourced is going to free up more time for you to tackle the areas you're very good at, then you should also outsource those too. Then what is the time frame for the product delivery? If it is going to be too much of a hassle for you to deliver individually, and bearing in mind that most times too, you might have other projects and activities competing for your time, then you should outsource. Most times, of course, I can understand that if the project is not viable enough, if there's not enough money in the project, then there is no economic sense in outsourcing because you just can't afford it. But the underlying assumption across all these suggestions and questions and decisions is that there's enough money for the project to be outsourced. If there's not enough money for the project to be outsourced, there's nothing you can do. So that's case. Even if you need to outsource, you cannot outsource. And we're only focusing on what you can do. Then as a good rule of thumb too, it's free. Let's say it takes you a month to deliver on a project. If you want to do it alone, you see that at most you can do 12 jobs roughly a year. But let's say if you have people or if you start outsourcing things, in a month you might be able to do that 12, which you ordinarily do by yourself in a year. You may be able to do it in a month and more. Because it is not just your time now, you're looking at the cumulative time and effort of other people. And that is how the Dangotes of this world get rich. Just like that, I think that there's a song about sung by Tenny. Roughly speaking, it says the song about how once the billionaire say that Dangote or Yotedola does not have two heads. And like that's actually wrong. They have thousands of heads because there are many people very, very brilliant working for them. And that's how they generate wealth.
Yeah. Very true. And I also think there's also another song, Burna Boy, Dangote still find money. Like, yeah, true. So it's a good thing having the cumulative efforts of plenty of people. That is really rewarding. Awesome. And this leads next, like, and transcends the next thing. Let's talk about vetting prospective hires and help. For developers, maybe you handle that part, then I'll talk about some things to look out for when vetting designers.
Okay, vetting, I think for skills, vetting for skills is easy because there are a lot of standardized tests you can put in place that could be that are generally one-size-fits-all solutions. But where you might run into some complexities is vetting for temperament and vetting for fit, vetting for ability to play well with the rest of the team or with you, whoever it is. So I think that's where you might want, if there might be some complexities. So for that, I would say you learn as you go along. Because there are no amount of reading books. Okay, you should look for somebody who, of course, everybody looks good on their CV. Everybody is a strong team player. Everybody can work well under pressure. Everybody is, as in the best of the best. They can be. Everybody is their best self on the CV. But most times too, and you should have, would I say, ready replacements. Because sometimes, even some, they are just like you have the concepts of false positive and false negatives. There are people that will scale through whatever performance criteria you set in place, whatever hiring criteria you set in place, that might end up not turning out well for a variety of reasons. So you should have a steady pool of replacements. And that's the idea behind the lean methodology, is that you don't focus too much on starting. You start with what you have, then you make adjustments as they become necessary. You make adjustments, maybe you prune, let people go, bring in new people as they become necessary. So you could adopt the lean methodology too, not just for building MVPs, but also for running your projects.
Yeah, awesome. For designers, there is the portfolio system. There is a way you could look at people's portfolios and you'd see the breadth of what they have done. And then when you have conversations with them, you'd understand the thinking behind the execution or the design direction they are taking on projects. I believe this will also help with checking if they would be a good fit for you and for the project. So awesome, cool. Let's also talk about what to outsource. Is personal projects off the table or only client projects?
No. For, like I said, the major constraints to outsourcing is resources, money.
Yeah.
Money is the major constraint to outsourcing. So it doesn't matter whether it's client project, your parents' project, whoever. So long as if it can be outsourced, it can be outsourced. Personal or not.
Yeah, awesome. True. Any other additional tips on...
Let's say, people, we already instinctively, in various areas of our life, outsource personal projects. Cleaning your room, for those of us that make use of laundry services, is that not outsourcing something personal? Those of us that employ cleaning services for our homes, even the house help system, that's outsourcing stuff that belongs to us. So in other areas of our life, we probably already outsource personal projects.
Yeah, true. We are already outsourcing in some form. So resources is the major constraint. Awesome. In closing, you can choose to do everything yourself, or you can trade your money or skills. Yes, skills too. Like you could barter your skills or service for another person's skill or service. It just has to be mutually beneficial for both parties. And the rewards are incredibly valuable. You get to network, you get to leverage other people's expertise, and also you get to save time. So outsource where possible and where you have resources.
Yeah, so a book that I've come across that applies is Built to Sell. Also, the E-Meet is another one, but I think Build to Sell suits the topic better. Build to Sell is talking about the case study is building a business with the eye to selling it. And what are the things you have to do when building a business to sell? You have to, as early as possible, win the business away from yourself. So you have to basically, you're forced to build systems so the business doesn't depend on you. And of course, in building a business or building a business that is going to survive without you actively running, being in the driver's seat day to day, you have to do a lot of outsourcing. You have to build a lot of teams. You have to build a lot of processes and structures. So the portions of the book that talk about building systems and processes could help with outsourcing. They talk about different systems, the hiring system, the remuneration system, different forms of systems. And that could help on our discussion regarding outsourcing, because you're basically looking at building something that can exist and thrive without your continual active input.
Awesome. Okay, let's do something different. In like as short as possible of a sentence, your one sentence summary or a few sentence summary of like or good to advice for systemizing or outsourcing.
So basically, I think the moral of the whole story of this episode is you should outsource where you can, so long as resources are not, you're not constrained by resources. The bottom line is outsource, so long as resources are not the constraints, outsource whatever you can. But the things that somebody else is better than you at, and the things that you might be better than somebody else at, but is going to prevent you from doing some other things. It's going to tie up your time. Outsource as much as you can. But other than things that must be done by you, and there are not that many things. There are not that such many things. So outsource as much as you can.
Awesome. For me, it would be you can iterate this process. You could see this process as a challenge in iteration, and you make mistakes. Definitely, you hire wrong people, but you learn from the process, and you will grow, and you learn how to spot some bad hires. Well, it's always a growing journey, and we'll definitely make mistakes while learning. So be open to it. Awesome. Today's episode has been really, really amazing. Thank you so much, boss, for your time.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks to hear feedback of you.
Yeah.
CEOs might be in managerial positions. You might run outsourcing agencies. So basically, you have much more practical experience. You have real-world experience, which is much more valuable than theory. So we'd like to hear from you.
Yeah. You can tell us what stood out for you in today's episode, or you could tell us how you handle outsourcing. You can also send us suggestions on episode topics and or questions. Get in touch with us via DMs on Twitter or just tweet at us. I am at Bright CMeka, and BossUK is at UK Shucks. Alternatively, you can send us an email. Our email address is thecreativeschronicles@gmail.com. Links to this would be in the show notes. Please do remember to subscribe on your favorite podcast player. Visit thecreativeschronicles.com/subscribe and select your podcast player of choice. Don't forget to leave us and click the subscribe button after selecting your favorite podcast player. Hit the subscribe button. Don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes. This helps other people, other creatives discover our show. And if you found this episode valuable, to share with friends and loved ones. Remember to go out and create awesomeness. Always be creating. We'll see you next week. Bye for now.